After Dark, from the Incomparable Podcast number 77, recorded January 17th, 2012.
The rewriting of chronology and of events every time you go through, hitting that reset button, reminds me a lot of the short story Word Processor of the Gods, where you guys are familiar with that one?
No.
It's a Stephen King short story where the protagonist is a failed writer who had a beloved nephew. Failed writer has a brutish, loutish brother. Brutish, loutish brother marries the love of the writer's life. They have a son. Son is gentle and a genius and should really be the son the writer always wanted to have and never did. Naturally, the brother manages to kill the wife and the son in a car crash. The writer's nephew had bequeathed him a word processor, and what he discovers when he types in the word processor is whatever he types becomes reality.
Mm.
So
there was a John Candy movie about that, wasn't there?
So he experiments with with eliminating his son and bringing him back again, and eventually he decides to use the word processor to engineer the life he always wanted. But it was the idea that through sheer force of narrative, you could hit a reset button and change the trajectory of events going forward. That's something that's just kind of taken for granted as a background conceit in 11-22-63. So I thought it was a really nice recycling of ideas in the Kingian universe.
Interesting, and not the only one either. I mean, we'll probably talk a little bit about sort of the echoes and resonances, which are a really big part of the theme of this story. But
oh, yeah.
I know John and maybe the other of you who, if you have read The Dark Tower, King's sort of master opus, this is kind of a big part of that as well.
Don't spoil this for Jason. He hasn't read the book.
I have to confess,
I'm a Stephen King fan, and I have just never been able to get into Dark Tower. I should give it another try, but I've read almost everything but The Dark Tower.
And I will say, this is only maybe the first thing I've read of King's after having read The Dark Tower. So mm-hmm. I come from a very different perspective on it, but there are a lot of resonances in this book with The Dark Tower, and a lot of there are actually a lot of connections to.
Yeah, you can go ahead and spoil me as the host. I have no spoiler.
No.
It's, you know, The Dark Tower is.
Yes, because it shows that there's life after the first time that they banish it, and it shows that they were affected by it even then. Because part of the arc of the It narrative is the fact that these really driven, successful adults have managed to compartmentalize and try to forget this horrible ordeal they went through. And the book is about them remembering and coming to terms with it and finally exercising it. But you get to meet these characters right when they're at the beginning of that journey, when you see Betty from the levee and Richie from the ditchy, and what they're trying to do to make themselves less damaged and set themselves on the path to get out of Derry. And it's just a really poignant scene in a lot of ways. And it kind of makes you ache for them and for what the eventual outcome is going to be.
Well,
it's a nice
intrigued.
Scene if you haven't.
I was intrigued by that. Also, sorry, Lisa.
No worries. Yeah.
I was intrigued by transitivity, sort of, because, you know, there are some links between it and The Dark Tower. That was the first. There's sort of this Stephen King idea of the macroverse, mm-hmm. where a lot of his stories are linked together. Not all of them, but many of them. And as you guys were saying, Derry, which shows up in It, as well as, I believe, a number of other Stephen King stories, comes into play. There's a couple other references I caught throughout the book that sort of reference to other things. But that was, that was interesting to me because it made me think a lot about just sort of the only other Stephen King book that I've read. And I, like I said, not just in terms of sort of the plot and stuff, but the writing tricks that John talked about were stuff that I recognized from The Dark Tower, among other things.
Yeah, the one writing trick I'm disappointed he didn't pull this time out is I would have loved to have seen a Randall Flagg reference. Just give me a character. No, just give me a character with the initials RF, because that's one of the bedrock traits that they use to identify him in The Stand is when you first meet him, he has no idea what his name is, but he knows that he used to be part of the gang that kidnapped Patty Hearst, and he's always this bad element, and he's always got the initials RF, and it seems natural that he would have been in that same foul circle that Lee Harvey Oswald bounced around in, and he's not here. And the story didn't miss him, but it would have been a really nice little nod.
Or as a wild card kind of that gets like one of the gamblers or somebody else who gets in his way and ends up being an obstacle.
Yeah,
these are all very bad ideas. let's talk about the idea of tie-ins, basically. You know, we know Stephen King likes to do this, and there is the macroverse and the overarching thing where all the stories are tied together in some way. But it's a fine line to walk, I think, because what you want to do is make it seem like there's a larger world. And I think he does a good job of tying in stories. The closer the stories are in theme and sort of purpose, the closer they're tied in. So, for example, The Stand and The Dark Tower have pretty strong ties, and they're both very apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it fits there, right? You have an RF role there, and you certainly do in The Dark Tower and that whole thing. Where it gets a little bit fuzzier, I think, is when you're tying... now I can't even remember. I've read too many of these books. The one with the guys cutting the threads. Someone, Stephen King book, helped me out. The Greek gods were cutting the threads on people.
The Fates or the Furies?
Yeah. No, I think it was the Fates.
Is it one of the Straub collaborations?
No. It was... yeah. I can't remember, but it was... The major plot of this book involved... It was like a story, but then at the very end, it turned out the whole point was to save this one guy who was important to the Dark Tower books. Do you remember that one? The people listening know which one it is. Anyway, that was an example.
I'm going back through it and trying to remember
that,
now.
That
wasn't
Insomnia, was it?
It might have been Insomnia.
According to Wikipedia, it is, in fact, Insomnia.
Okay, yeah. So they all tend to blend
it. Wikipedia while you can.
We'll fix it in post. Yeah.
Now, there's an example of... a book that didn't really seem to have close ties with the macroverse and didn't need to be, but at the end they're like, oh, and by the way, the whole point of this book you just read was a minor plot point in The Dark Tower, and you feel cheated. And by the same token, The Dark Tower itself, there are tie-ins, and the tie-ins pile on top of each other and everything, and at a certain point you're like, well, rather than write a good section of this book, you decided to rely on the fact that we read and enjoyed it and just throw in Derry and establish characters in Derry as a kind of, hey, guys, hey, remember this? And I didn't see that it was necessarily tied. The fact, you know, why does he end up in Derry? Why are Bev and Richie there? Why have the it hiding in the tipped over stack and all that other stuff? You know what I mean? Other than the fact to say, you remember this? I wrote this book, and that was a good book. And yes,
see,
I agree.
See, I think part of the point to
Bev and Richie is to show the evanescence of youth, because that's a theme that bounces through the whole book, though, is once he goes back in time, he's so much more painfully aware. I don't think it really hits him until he goes back that back in the 1960s, people were young and had the same experiences that young people of his era did, where you are experiencing everything for the first time and you're under the impression that this has never happened to anyone before, it happened to you, and you are nothing but potential and energy and optimism. And I think that hits him again and again as he travels. First, there's Bev and Richie, and then when he goes to Jody? Yeah, that's the name of the town. When he goes to Jody and he's teaching the kids, he experiences it again and again, the realization that these people who are ultimately older than he is are at some point in their life fresh and new, and the time is going to pass faster than any of them can comprehend. And that's one of I think it feels like a very middle-aged person's book is because one of the themes that seems to be going through the whole way is the time's going to pass, youth is fleeting, you're going to look back and wonder what the hell happened, and all you can do is hope to reconcile who you are now with what you wanted to be.
Well, that's definitely...
But why do you need to reference your past works to give that message? That's what I'm getting at.
It's part of the ritual between reader and author.
He obviously enjoys making the references.
Yeah.
And plus he witnesses it, and that does a lot. And by the way, the guy killing people with hammers, that just reminded me of the man who loved flowers and other Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
Story. Pulling from the deep catalog, anyone?
Oh, yeah. Well, you basically described my middle school, which was spent flipping through Skeleton Crew and
those
Night
are great
Shift.
Books for 12-year-olds.
Oh, they were, yeah. No, we had a used bookstore, and I had my $5 allowance, and somehow I managed to infinitely recycle that $5 store credit into reading Stephen King's entire body of work one summer.
Wow.
I didn't check for it at the beginning of the book that they always have that any resemblance between the characters in this book and real people is not intentional. You know that little passage? I guess that wasn't in the front of this one.
I just watched Moneyball. I watched Moneyball this weekend, and there is an alternate disclaimer that's like, although this book is based on real figures, some aspects have been fictionalized.
Any references to historical events, real people, or real locales are used fictitious.
Ah, see?
Their names, characters, places, and incidents are products of the author's imagination, and any resemblance to actual events or locales, persons living or dead, is entirely
correct. Yes, that's right. That's nice because it's the alternate boilerplate.
Well, so that he doesn't get sued by Oswald.
Yeah, and I assume there's lots of artistic license in there because you can't possibly know enough to write a book like this about. Absolutely. So he's just got to decide based on the tiny bit of information he does have. Well, I got to make a character out of Lee Harvey Oswald. So I, didn't take it to think that that was what Lee Harvey Oswald would like. That was why, or that was why he was like that, or anything. I just figured like he's got to pick something. He's writing a book. He has to, so he just decides.
Right.
All right. This fits with the few facts that we know. This is plausible, and go with it.
It's not unrealistic to not knowing very much about this at all to think that Lee Harvey Oswald was probably kind of a loser, and it turns out sort of like browbeaten by his mother and had lots of big ideas but never had any follow through and. And I mean, it's a portrayal that I look at and think, yeah, that sounds like, you know, and so he's not some towering historical figure. He just happens to be the guy who was in the right place at the right time to do this horrible thing. And that, you know, we can see why he got there, but, you know, it wasn't anything special about him. He's just kind of he's a schmo. He's a loser. He's a wife beater.
He's a
bazzy. King says if you read the afterword, it's a bit like King says about reading through the research and trying to decide about the conspiracy theory part of it. And, you know, eventually coming to the conclusion that Oswald acted alone for, you know, for little reason other than something, mm-hmm. you know, Occam's razor, essentially. Well, you know, it is sort of the simplest explanation.
Yeah.
So it seems that that's most likely to be true. And in some ways that applies to his characterization of Oswald as well. I mean, this guy was not, you know, he was not a monster necessarily. We see these scenes with him where he clearly is disturbed and he clearly has issues, but he's not like constantly being this monstrous person.
Gotta kill Kennedy.
Like you said,
gotta kill Kennedy. Kennedy.
Exactly. We see his relationship with his wife and his daughter go up and down, and he's usually very good to his daughter.
Well, if you've known
almost the entire thing, but you know, it's you know, he's like Jason said. He's a loser. He's a you know, Jake refers to him later in the book, and I won't use his words because then Jason has to bleep me out. But it's you know, he's a screw up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you've known anybody with either personality problems like that, or if you've known people who are emotionally abusive, you can see the pattern is very, very well written by King, where it's like emotionally abusive people can be very charming and very sweet one day and then immediately flip a switch and it's like you're standing in the room with a completely different person. And he writes that very well.
Don't forget that he's also physically abusive.
Yes, absolutely.
This is also true.
Although speaking of ripples, the pedantic nerd in me has to chime in here and say that...
Pedantic, does that make you a pedant? Is that
yes.
Pedant, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I it's not a pedant.
More of a nerdant.
Okay, it's pet. However it's pronounced.
Oh no! Yeah. One of the things that has stuck in my brain ever since the first time I read The Stand was when Lloyd Hyde-Reed is busy strangling somebody to take their car.
Spoilers.
He's busy strangling somebody, and the guy is dying. His boot heel kicks on the car radio. And Stephen King drops the sentence, someone named Madonna was on. She is apparently a material girl. And it's just this little detail that's dropped in the middle of it. And it has stuck with me forever because it points out how in the middle of this incredibly brutal act, the most inane things will just kind of catch your attention for a moment while you're in the middle of something else. And it's a great way to point out the fact that Lloyd is kind of a moron. And it just sets the tone for the whole book and the things that people will their attention's going to get hooked on inconvenient things, and they're all very flawed and very frail. And he does this again and again, even in short stories. He is really elegant about the way he characterizes people. And
did anyone highlight any passages from this book when they were reading it? I don't know of things people highlight.
I didn't, which surprises me because there were several things in it that I was really struck by. I think you know I didn't highlight any, but
so I highlighted one. One little section, and it's relevant to what you're just discussing. And we've talked about this on other podcasts where I believe last time I was defending Stephen King's writing ability against Jason, who was saying that he was a hack.
I did not say he was a hack.
Well, anyway, so
I think the argument, John, was that I think Neal Stephenson showed that he's got maybe more style than Stephen King, but doesn't know how to tell a story because he can't find an ending.
No, it wasn't. It was Ernest Cline because I wasn't on the Stephenson.
Well, no, podcast. I wasn't. Oh, I wasn't on the Ernest Cline podcast.
Or maybe
I was on both of them. It was me.
Patrick Rothfuss, maybe. I don't know. Either way.
You're right. It was Patrick Rothfuss. Patrick Rothfuss. The same point is that Rothfuss is a much flashier writer, but had some story issues. Yeah. And Stephen King may not be as flashy, but he's got the story.
It's like the difference between an architect and a carpenter, right? You
know, well, so
an architect can make a great looking building, but it might fall apart.
Yeah.
Because it was so engrossing and so wrapping up, you kind of want to savor it. And so I was sad to read 500 pages in 24 hours or so. But, I mean, you know, it was still, I agree, it was incredibly effective book and a really well-told story.
Dan, after we're done here, run into a wall with your head. Give yourself a concussion. You'll forget the whole thing.
How about I get beat up by some gangsters and then I'll lose my memory?
Oh, yes.
And then I can reread it.
This is actually my very first Stephen King book. Don't freak out, Syracuse.
Oh, my God.
Shush. Well, it's funny because I there are many Stephen King books.
So young.
In my cabin, I've read my Michael Crichton, I've read my Dean Koontz,
Come on. They need like the Men in Black thing to erase
Dean
that from
Koontz.
Memory.
Odd Thomas is a good book, and anybody who says otherwise can go jump off a bridge. Anyway, this was a very good book. I quite enjoyed it. The mix of time travel and love story was just the right amount for me, and I appreciated that we didn't spend that much time on the Kennedy assassination itself. I don't know. I thought it was a nice book to jump into, and now The Dark Tower is officially on my reading list, and I promise I will get to it at some
stand.
Point.
Read The Stand.
Read The Stand. Okay.
Read The Stand first.
The Stand also plays into The Dark Tower.
It does, so. But you can read just The Stand. And
I would argue that The Stand is his masterwork.
Yes.
I guess I need to read The Stand.
I would absolutely argue
you
that
never
The Stand is his masterwork.
Dan.
Oh.
I told you, I've only read The Dark Tower. I didn't,
well,
you know, growing up, I still don't like horror books.
The Stand.
I know it
ties into The Dark Tower, which is why you'll also appreciate it. But it is a great standalone,
perfectly good standalone.
1200
I know that it's
novel.
Really well regarded, and I remember my friends reading it in high school. And I think at that point, I was creeped out by a combination of Stephen King, who my cousin, who was like 2.5 years older than me, is like a Stephen King freak. He loves Stephen King. It's his favorite writer. And so I was always a little put off by the horror aspects of it, combined with the fact that now that I'm older, I'm still a little bit put off by the horror, but also put off by the idea of massive epidemics. Freaks me out, man. So that book is like right in my sweet spot.
Oh yeah,
The Stand is his masterwork.
It is.
I think it is legit.
Yeah, The Dark Tower. I gotta say, I read The Dark Tower is a fantastic. Amazing piece and one of the only pieces of literature that I've ever felt like after I finished reading, like, wow, I could write like a dissertation on that. It is so multi-layered and complex and fascinating and indicative of storytelling.
See,
is just
my problem with The Dark Tower
amazing.
Is I started it too soon, and so there weren't that many books in the series yet, and by the time the next book came out, I thought, you know, I can't even remember what happened, so maybe I can go back now that it's worth reading.
It is 100% worth reading. Yeah. Because
for a while there, it looked like he was never going to finish it.
That is very central to the story itself. Like, that is essential to the story itself. And it's fascinating that I was reading through the Wikipedia page for 11/22/63, and they mentioned that at the end, where he's getting that sum up of the alternate history that he's come back to, this post-apocalyptic history, they talk about there's like a nuclear plant in Vermont that melts down. And the date that they give is the date that he got in the accident where he got hit by a car. And so, you know, and that is something that in and of itself plays into The Dark Tower. And because it was a dividing point, as you said, Jason, you know, there was a point at which he stopped writing it. And then, you know, he did get hit by a car and had this terrible accident. And that in many ways revitalized his interest in that story. And it's a fascinating work. It's not without its flaws, but it is incredibly good and worth it.
So, Ren, Stand first, then.
You'll all be happy to know that I just downloaded The Stand to
Woo!
Kindle.
All right. John.
Yay! You horrible enablers.
John is curled up in a ball and shocked that people haven't read so much of the Stephen King.
I'll throw it in once more time that I really enjoyed. There's a little bit in the post-apocalyptic future where he just talks about seeing some cars that don't exist. which I was amused by because that also has another dark. It's another Dark Tower. It's another dark thing. The specific brands of the cars that he references.
The Wikipedia page has a in depth list of all of the miniature Stephen King references. There are quite a few, and I don't recognize any of them, having not read Stephen King books. But
yeah, you're just spoiling yourself. Stop reading Wikipedia. In fact, I'm gonna blank all of Wikipedia so you can not look at the spoilers.
You're to blame.
That's right. Lots of references. Well, you read as many books as Stephen King, and you can do that. Actually, there was that book that he wrote for the Kindle, or not the book, a short story he wrote for the Kindle about the magic Kindle that gets all the books that have ever been written in the multiverse. So it's got like books after authors have died that they just didn't die in the alternate reality, and so they kept writing books.
I didn't read that one. I think it was because of I object to these exclusives.
It was a Kindle only. It was fun, but it reminded me of this too, in that it's his view of the kind of the multiverse. But it's a cool idea. The idea that, you know, there if you had a machine that could assemble from all the realities, you would have like, you know, different versions of novels and like Beatles albums from after the Beatles broke up because and John Lennon albums from the 90s.
Did any of us laugh at sorry, I felt bad laughing at it, but laughing at Paul McCartney is blinded. Like, that's just that one throwaway line in the Ultimate Vision. No! Well,
at that point, I was like, I know. Like, this is, and the thing is, the reason Stephen King does those little sections that Jason and I were finding objective, because, you know, it's fun. Right, it's fun to do that. He could do a whole book about that type of thing.
What was hilarious was reading that, you know, in the afterword that he credits Doris Kearns Goodwin and Dick Goodwin for helping him come up with, like, what's the crazy stuff that happens in the alternate future? It's like, that's just strange. Right. Okay.
But I would have enjoyed that more if it was actually what might have happened if Kennedy had lived. Not, well, after Kennedy was shot, there were earthquakes and, like, dragons came out of the sea.
What the hell? Yeah.
See, I mean, I think maybe you have to pick one direction or the other. Like, either, like, totally, like, dragons, man.
Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, life went on.
I like the gray ash scenario. And I was rooting for it so hard. Right. I'm like, you can do it, Steve. Gray ash, that's all we need.
Right,
you don't need to dwell on it.
You just got to call him up on your own personal line, John.
I can't believe you haven't read that Kindle thing. I've read something by Stephen King that you haven't read. It's shocking.
Yeah.
All right. Not that shocking.
That was stuff we cut out of the podcast. Now this is the part after the podcast ended.
I just want to do a quick check. There's no one on this podcast right now who has not read Lord of the Rings.
We've all read Lord of the Rings.
I'm just making sure, because now I'm shaking to my foundations by,
by what I've heard.
Two podcasts in a row, because of course the kids' movies podcast, we had the whole bit about how Lex hasn't seen The Empire Strikes Back.
So he's okay. He fills that role as the guy who hasn't seen the things you expect everyone to see. But I thought everyone else was like, we're all on the same page together.
I can sing I can sing some Tom Bombadil for you if you.
All right, just making sure.
In my alternate history, Stephen King did not write The Stand. It was, sorry guys.
He wrote a lighter book with bunnies and alternate universes.
Actually, he did write The Stand, but it was just about a piece of furniture.
Yeah, it was The Nightstand.
It's really boring.
It's a cop drama.
I was going to go try to look up something, a quote from The Dark Tower, but Wikipedia is offline.
Wikipedia is dead.
You can just ask me and I'll give it to you.
They flip the switch, yeah.
Well, I was trying to remember, isn't there a quote about everything being connected, John?
That narrows it down. It's like every
But I thought there was a repeated. I thought there was a repeated comment about, like, everything is connected, but I can't remember the exact wording.
Yeah, that sentiment is expressed.
Expressed many times. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the phrasing, a particular.
Phrase. How are you going to Google that if you don't even have a single word that was in?
It's going to be tough.
I would like. No,
if anybody ever wants to do a book club on The Stand, I would be down.
Someone
for
had the comment.
I would
about,
need to read it first.
We did this all 17 years ago. That amused me. I don't remember. I mean, most of you probably were around to remember the blue ribbons in the mid 90s. For the Communications Decency Act, I did a speech on the CDA in my sophomore English class.
Stop making us feel old.
Oldies. How was John Kennedy when you met him, John?
Yes.
How was who?
Yeah. How did you enjoy meeting John Kennedy?
I never read the original edition of The Stand. I only read the expanded edition.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember buying the hardcover and reading it like the summer a summer during college where I was working at this. I had a few different temp jobs, and it was at this like power plant that like burned wood for power, and it was like a hard hat kind of place. So I would like at the lunch break, I would sit outside with my little turkey sandwich and my little can of Hawaiian punch and this giant book as the guys in the hard hats would be walking around. That's my memory of that book, which I think I've read two or three times now.
Yeah, now I am wondering if I've downloaded the correct version of the book, right?
I'm not sure there's another version available now. That's the version.
Well, I went back and I read the cut version to see what they had cut, and I'm like, no, this is not good. I mean, he was not happy with it because they made him really trim it down because it's 1,000 pages.
Some of the references too.
Well, yeah, the second version they cleaned up. They did that with the Dark Tower too, by the way.
Yeah, the Gunslinger has changed.
Gunslinger
is a different version because he wrote it when he was 19.
He wrote 1975. Basically, he started this book when I was born, or around the time I was born, and finished it, when I turned 30 or something. So he went back and did.
Oh, that was the. I forgot that other. There's a nice little throw-off reference when the guy's teaching him to play cribbage.
Yep.
And he talks about the hand that's called the Mystic 19.
I didn't catch that reference.
You didn't catch that? There's a reference in there that he says the guy telling him all about these, like, about playing cribbage and about the Mystic 19, which is a hand you can't score because it's impossible to score a 19 in cribbage.
I don't know about
Mystic
cribbage.
Mystic 19 jumped out at me immediately because if you read the Dark Tower, 19 is very important.
I kept looking for the walking dude, but he never showed up.
You can't have everything in every book. That's why I was saying, like, I like it when they're connected, but the themes match up. And this was not about the end of the world. Well, I don't know. I guess it could have used a little bit more dark. I would have allowed it. There was a quota for you were allowed a couple more Dark Tower references that he chose not to take.
Yes, agreed. But I mean, there are some. Yeah, I mean, I think all books are really kind of the Dark Tower is really about all stories, isn't it?
Yes.
So yeah,
it is all books.
So you can have
spoilers, boys.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're not really believe me. No, we're not spoiling anything. You're going to be 50% through the Dark Tower, and you're going to be like, "What the hell is going?" Believe me.
There's a lot of that.
It will overwhelm you, and you will have forgotten all these vague statements, and you will be wrapped up in it. Yeah. The Dark Tower has like five, how many books? Maybe three seven. And a half really awesome books in the middle of it.
Yeah, but they're throughout.
Huh.
Which is kind of
like
weird.
I said. I think I've read three of them.
If you stopped after the drawing of the three, the third book, or is that the third
no, one? That's second book. Third book's The Wasteland.
Yeah,
there are tough sections in the Dark Tower. There are going to be sections where you're like, oh, this isn't great, but stick with it. The Stand is easier. The Stand is good all the way through.
I mean, I read 10 Robert Jordan books. I think I can stick through Stephen King.
It's a little bit different kind of sticking through, but
I got my friend to start reading it, and he said he put down after drawing of the three because he's like, I didn't get into that. But I was like, man, that really, because I like The Gunslinger, but
yeah,
I didn't love The Gunslinger. It does show The Gunslinger is not one of my favorites because I think it shows sort of a lot of his rough edges. I like it, but it's not of the books in the series. It's not my favorite.
For me, it was looking at it here on the dictionary app. Since I can't get to Wikipedia, I probably read them in the late 80s, Gunslinger, A Drawing of the Three, and then in 91, The Wastelands came out. And then it was another 6 years before Wizard and Glass. At that point, I just gave up.
No spoilers for Ren on Wastelands and Drawing of the Three. But yeah, that is a tough spot. I lived through the same thing in real time, and it was rough, but there's a payoff, if you had continued on the journey.
And Wizard and Glass is a good book, and in fact, they've redone parts of the story of it as a graphic novel in recent years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say a lot about. Like, if you're into comic books, as many of the people were, if you're into comic books, The Dark Tower totally lends itself to being done as a graphic novel because there are whole sections of it that you're like, boy, reading this is kind of a slog, but I can totally see this as a graphic novel.
I only read the first volume that they put out, which I liked, but I just didn't pick up the subsequent ones. But it was good. But yeah, I mean, it's weird also because the chronology jumps around too. So,
and for the people who are going to read The Dark Tower, this is the time when your speed reading skills are important because to just contain this story in your head and keep track of all the moving parts, it helps not to have read the first book 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was my...
I would imagine.
When I read The Wastelands, I was like, man, I can't, you know, I got to go back and read the first two again, and I was not... I think that's what Lisa was saying.
We didn't have
Wikipedia.
We couldn't go back and review.
I think that's what Lisa was saying about George R. R. Martin. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to wait.
Mm-hmm. I think I read it
all
through.
Well, he's coming out with a new book, right?
There is a new Dark Tower book coming out.
Okay, when is that coming out? This year?
It comes out, but it's also
not a new one. The story's over. It's
not even a
backfilling.
Yeah, it's kind of a stuck in the middle.
It's like the Little Sisters of Eloria or whatever, that type of...
No, this is... Well, this takes place between Wizard of Glass and Wolves of the Column.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
While they're wandering around.
Yeah, you can backfill forever in this story, but like the story has beginning, middle, and end. It's been told, and it's just like, well, gee, I wonder what happened between, you know, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Well, we could have a movie in there. You can, but you don't need it. You know?
Yeah,
gotcha.
I agree. I don't think this book will be essential to understanding the story, but it might be an interesting little thing to read as it comes out. I read the whole series, I think probably in about 8 months, 1 year, I think about probably 2005. I think I remember starting it around like March or April or something. And I remember finishing the Dark Tower, which had come out, I believe the year before, in like November or something like that, which is also when I think I was starting to be unemployed towards the end of that too.
I read it in 20 years. It was a long 20 years.
Long book.
Congratulations, John.
Yeah. The Dark Tower is a great example of like that first little, it's such a skinny little book. And it's like, boy, this could be the awesomest thing ever. But it's, you know, it's like a trailer, you know, the movie trailers are really good. And you're like, wow, that movie trailer was great, but it's not the movie. It's kind of
but the movie sometimes
do.
Is the movie. Yeah,
it's
trailer
kind of easier
is sometimes
to do the awesome
movie
trailer. So the Gunslinger is an awesome movie trailer. And there's 6,000 pages after that, and you can judge that for yourself.
Okay, no more spoilers. I have the first book of that, and I have the stand both on my iPhone. So as soon as I finish, among others, those will be my next books.
Yeah, I'm currently working my way through some. Was it a resumption person? I don't remember the name of it, but I'm working my way through that.
I don't even know what that is.
Neither do I.
I'm reading...
Resumption Men? Is that what it is? I don't remember.
Oh, you mean that being... You mean that book by Dan Moran?
Yeah, the Moron needled? Book. Dan Moran.
The Moron book.
Yeah, and then after that, I have something that's supposed to be some one of those .com... Books,
no, but you don't. It was withdrawn.
They screw up the technology in those books, so it's going to be awful.
It was withdrawn by the writer because the writer was anticipating making some revisions based on feedback from other people who had read it.
Well, it didn't disappear from my Kindle, so
well, you
I
could
assumed
go
it hadn't
ahead.
Been withdrawn from
it. The kill switch has not yet been used.
No.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, but I am actually, those are the next ones in my queue, and I actually have started Dan's book. But since I looked at the little apocalypse thing, and it looks like it's short, I may detour into that to try to be on that podcast because so few books I have the interest or time to read when they're really long. But this is like a 200-page short story collection. I'm like, I can do that, maybe.
Oh, so short stories?
We'll see.
I might detour again.
I don't know if I do
short stories are hard. You can't speed read through short stories because
I can't
speed
read at all.
Yeah, it's easy for John.
Fair enough.
I also have a stack of graphic novels lent to me that I really seriously need to get cracking on.
All right.
Do a podcast on any of your books, by the way. I know we always bring this up.
Which books?
Novelists, Jason, Dan.
Once they're ready to be released, sure, we'll just promote them with their own promotional podcast. Exactly. It'll get people. It'll be more like an infomercial, though, John.
Oh, I see. That's how it is.
Spoilerific infomercial.
Tell me more. Boy, this book seems wonderful. What else can it do, Jason?
That's right.
Let me tell John. You use this book for 6 weeks, it will get you into tip-top shape.
Available for $4.99 from the iBookstore. I don't want to give away too much. But there's a robot in it. And a zeppelin.
Robots and zeppelins? Oh, my.
That's what they all say.
Gotta win them with robots. Wow. Okay.
People love robots. I press the mute button on this thing.
Except for the evil ones.
Yes.
Evil people. That means
those people can just go away.
I'm still reading Charles Stross, but once that's over.
What are you reading for Stross?
I'm reading... I read Halting State, and now I'm reading Rule 32 or whatever it is.
I don't know. I had John, were you there when we were standing outside Zoftig's
at some point, and I was harping on Strauss and how I don't like Strauss.
I'm not loving it.
I'm not a big fan of his work. He's written a couple books which I find amusing.
Rule 34 also, is what I'm reading now.
He also wrote several books that I was just like, dude, I don't think you actually know what you're doing. You seem very smart, but you don't seem like you're a particularly good storyteller.
Yeah, that's actually how I'm feeling.
Yeah,
I talked to somebody who had read Halting State and said, yeah, I don't really remember anything that happened in it.
Is that because the one that's sort of... is that the one that's sort of like ostensibly about like a heist in an MMO or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. See, that sum up sounds fascinating, but then my friend Jason read the book and was like, yeah, it's not really about that.
No. I liked Saturn's Children.
Did not read that.
Which is a wild, crazy future thing. But
first four volumes of the Merchant Princes series, which starts out really interesting, and then after the first book kind of goes rapidly downhill. And it's clear that he's just like, I wrote this first book on a lark, and I didn't really have any idea where I was going with it, and then I just kept writing and writing and writing and writing and writing, and it has no appreciable shape.
Yeah.
And I read the ones about that are sort of Cthulhu-esque spy spoofs, the Atrocity Archives, which are amusing, but not particularly good. So, I don't know.
I don't know if I've read any Strauss, and now I am kind of glad I haven't.
Yeah.
There are better things to read, such as The Stand and The Dark Tower, presumably.
Well, Saturn's Children's not bad because it's like space, almost like space opera, and the main character is a repurposed sex bot. So she now she's been repurposed. So she's out on her own and making her way in the world.
Making her way in the world today.
Having formerly been a sex bot, but is now not.
I can see from the cover that I just Googled. See, yes. Saturn's Children just reminds me of a book called Shade's Children. That was a young adult novel released 10 years ago. I want to say
they both have children in it.
They both have children in it. Shade's Children is pretty good.
But yeah.
Sorry, now I've got Cheers stuck in my head. Thanks.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
I did a puzzle this weekend that involved someone playing like seven notes of TV themes.
You can actually see the two different covers, the English, the British cover for Saturn's Children and the US cover, and how dramatically different they are.
Yes, I was noticing that. One has a spaceship
on it, and one has a sex bot on it. Yeah. All right, I'm hanging up now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, everybody.
Later.